morning to everyone in the Diocese of Orange and elsewhere in Southern California. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio on AM 1000. We're coming to you through the good offices of Immaculate Heart Radio today and every Thursday morning from 11 to noon from our studios on the campus of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. I'm Patrick Mott. Well, as many of our listeners know, one of the issues on which Pope Francis has placed considerable emphasis in the course of his papacy is the family. In fact, he'll be making a stop in Philadelphia during his September visit to the United States to take part in the World Meeting of Families there. It's expected to be a landmark occasion that will shine a particularly bright light on a basic institution of society that has suffered in the last few decades, particularly in the Western world. Here with us in the studio to discuss the state of the family in the world today, and particularly Pope Francis's vision for the future of families everywhere, is Dr. Salvatore Martinez. Dr. Martinez is the president of the Vatican Foundation International Center for the Family in Nazareth, which we'll be talking about, and he is the first lay president of the Catholic Charismatic Renewal in Italy. He's also a consultant on the Pontifical Council for the Family, among many other titles, and he is the author of many, many books. We'll be speaking with Dr. Martinez through an interpreter today. Dr. Martinez, many thanks for taking time out of your day to join us here on Orange County Catholic Radio.
Thank you so much, and sorry because I no speak English for this. Enzo is my translator today.
Well, we will work through both of you. I think it'll turn out just fine. You have worked under three popes now, from Pope John Paul II to Benedict to Francis. All of them have taken a particularly keen interest in matters relating to the family. Why have they all placed such an emphasis on the family?
Perché questa enfasi era stata posta dal Concilio Ecumenico Vaticano II.
Because this emphasis was placed on the family by the Second Vatican Council.
Una delle evidenze più grandi di questo concilio è stata proprio ribadire la soggettività della famiglia.
And one of the great subjects of the Vatican Council was to place such value on the family.
Come piccola chiesa domestica.
As a small domestic church.
Come santuario della vita.
As a sanctuary for life.
Come cellula fondamentale della società.
And as the fundamental cell of society.
Si commette un grande errore.
And so we commit a grave error.
Spirituale e sociale.
Spiritual and social.
Ed è quello di prescindere dalla famiglia.
And it's the one to eliminate or to remove the family.
E invece bisogna partire dalla famiglia.
And instead we have to start from the family.
Ora Giovanni Paolo II,
John Paul II,
ha creato le giornate mondiali della famiglia.
Created the World Days of the Family.
Insieme a quelle dei giovani.
As well as those for the youth.
Per dare questa grande enfasi.
To place such great emphasis.
Fare della famiglia.
And to make of the family.
Non solo l'oggetto di politiche.
Not only the subject of politics.
Non solo l'oggetto di catechesi.
Not just the subject of catechesis.
Non solo l'oggetto di aiuti umanitari.
And not only the subject of humanitarian aid.
Ma un soggetto attivo.
But an active subject.
Una forza di cambiamento.
A force for change.
Un protagonismo dei laici.
And a protagonism for the laity.
Per raccontare il Vangelo della famiglia.
To say or to speak the gospel of the family.
È lui che ha avuto la visione di questa fondazione.
And he was the one who initially had the vision for this foundation.
Che ho il piacere di presiedere.
Which I have the pleasure and privilege of presiding.
You touched on this just a moment ago. Pope Francis has said that marriage and the family are currently in crisis. He blames what he calls, and this is a quote, the culture of the contemporary for persuading people to give up on marriage as a commitment. Do you agree on this?
La famiglia è in crisi perché è in crisi l'amore.
The family is in crisis because love is in crisis.
Per questo non possiamo fare a meno della famiglia.
And that is why we cannot do without the family.
Perché l'uomo non può fare a meno dell'amore.
Because man cannot do without love.
Tutti chiedono amore.
We all ask love for love.
Tutti chiedono di essere amati.
We all desire to be loved.
Questo è il primo bisogno dell'uomo.
And this is the first necessity and need of man.
Ed è collegato alla stessa vita umana.
And it's tied to human life itself.
Ma per questo serve la famiglia.
But for this we need the family.
Serve un padre e una madre.
We need a father and a mother.
Uniti stabilmente.
Stably united.
Per generare continuamente la vita.
To continually generate life.
È il mistero di Nazareth.
And that is the mystery of Nazareth.
Che non si è esaurito.
Which has not exhausted itself.
E che deve essere ribadito.
And which must be re-announced and re-proposed.
Papa Francesco verrà a Filadelfia.
Pope Francis is coming to Philadelphia.
Prima del sinodo sulla famiglia.
Before the synod on the family.
Per dire questa grande profezia dell'amore.
To speak and to pronounce this great prophecy of love.
E sta preparando l'umanità.
And he is preparing humanity.
Ogni mercoledì.
Every Wednesday.
Nelle udienze generali.
In the general audience.
Ormai da diverse settimane.
For many weeks now.
Il Papa parla della famiglia.
The Pope is talking about the family.
Sta parlando degli sposi.
He's talking about spouses.
Sta parlando dei genitori.
He's talking about parents.
Sta parlando dei figli.
Sons and daughters.
Sta parlando dei nonni.
And grandparents.
Parla delle generazioni.
He's speaking of all the generations.
Che devono essere collegate fra di loro.
Which have to be united with each other.
In one of his homilies, and this was one that he spoke in 2013, he spoke about incorporating prayer, active faith, and joy into the family. How can families accomplish this, particularly when mother and father both work, possibly, and all the kids have busy lives of their own?
Papa Francesco ha scritto la sua esortazione.
Pope Francis wrote his exhortation.
Evangelii Gaudium.
Evangelii Gaudium.
Mettendo in evidenza il lavoro dello Spirito Santo.
And he highlighted the work of the Holy Spirit.
Che fa due cose.
Which does two things.
Pregare.
Pray.
E lavorare.
And work.
E così anche noi.
And in this way we too.
Sembra che il nostro tempo sia solo per lavorare.
It looks like our time is just to work.
E non ci sia tempo per pregare.
And there's no time to pray.
Ma la preghiera è come l'ossigeno.
But prayer is like oxygen.
È come l'aria che respiriamo.
It's like the air we breathe.
Non possiamo farne a meno.
We can't do without it.
Altrimenti soffochiamo.
Otherwise we suffer.
La famiglia soffoca.
The family asphyxiates itself.
Se non trova un tempo per la preghiera.
If it doesn't find time for
prayer. Ma cosa significa pregare?
So what does it mean to pray?
Non significa aprire un libro.
Doesn't mean to open a book.
E leggere delle preghiere.
And just to read some prayers.
La preghiera è uno stile.
Prayer is a style.
La preghiera è silenzio.
It's silence.
Per ascoltare l'altro.
It's to listen to the other.
La preghiera è dialogo.
It's a dialogue.
Per entrare in relazione.
It's the prayer is an engagement in a relationship.
La preghiera è gioia di condividere.
Prayer is a joy to share.
Ma anche capacità di soffrire.
But also the ability to suffer.
La preghiera unisce.
Prayer unites.
La preghiera è esattamente ciò di cui l'uomo ha ogni giorno bisogno.
Prayer is that thing that man needs every day.
Come l'ossigeno.
Just like air.
È fondamentale allora che i figli.
It's fundamental, especially when the children.
Vedano i genitori.
See the parents.
Respirare la preghiera.
Breathe that prayer.
Vivere la preghiera.
Live it.
Non solo fare preghiere.
And not just speak or say prayers.
San Francesco d'Assisi.
Saint Francis of Assisi.
Dice il suo biografo.
His biographer says.
Non pregava.
Did not pray.
Era preghiera.
He was prayer.
Questo allora è l'azione dello Spirito Santo.
And that then is that action of the Holy Spirit.
Che ci dà questo principio interiore.
Which gives us that interior principle.
Le famiglie sono solo esteriorizzate.
And that family becomes an externalization.
E colpite dallo spirito del mondo.
And they are hit by the spirit of the world.
Devono essere interiorizzate.
So they have to be interiorized.
Attraverso l'azione dello Spirito Santo.
And they do that through the action of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I imagine prayer is going to be on the table when the Pope and the bishops get together for the Synod on the Family in October. They've just finished pounding out the details of the Synod's working document. Can you give us any kind of a preview of what you think might be discussed at the Synod on the Family this coming October?
Come presidente di questa fondazione legata al Magistero della Famiglia,
as president of this foundation which is tied to the Magisterium of the Family,
e come consultore di questo dicastero,
and as a consultant for that dicastery,
ho seguito tutte queste fasi.
I've followed all these phases.
Già il sinodo straordinario che si è celebrato ad ottobre,
already the October extraordinary synod,
e il sinodo che si andrà a celebrare nel prossimo ottobre,
and the next one which is coming this coming October.
La prima cosa che vorrei evidenziare è il metodo di Francesco.
So the first thing I want to underline is Pope Francis's methodology.
Tutti hanno potuto collaborare.
Everyone has been able to collaborate.
Tutti hanno dato un contributo al questionario.
Everyone has given a contribution to the questions.
Alle domande.
To the answers.
Che saranno alla base del sinodo.
Which will be at the base of the synod.
Ed è stato meraviglioso.
And it's been marvelous.
Vedere che da tutto il mondo.
To see that from the whole world.
Non solo le diocesi.
Not just dioceses.
Non solo le associazioni e i movimenti.
Not just movements and associations.
Non solo gli specialisti.
And not just from specialists.
Ma anche la gente comune.
But from common folk.
Ha dato il proprio contributo.
They have been able to give their contribution.
E questo è già il concetto di sinodo.
And this is already that concept of synod.
Camminare insieme.
To walk together.
Non solo i vescovi.
Not just bishops.
Ma tutto il popolo di Dio.
But the whole people of God.
Ora qualche anticipazione.
So some previews.
Non dirò niente di nuovo.
I'm not going to be able to say anything new.
E niente di speciale.
And nothing special.
Ma di necessario.
But necessary, yes.
Perché molti vorrebbero.
Many would like.
Che il Papa cambiasse la dottrina.
The Pope to change doctrine.
Come segno di apertura allo spirito del mondo.
As a sort of aperture to the spirit of the world.
La dottrina.
But doctrine.
Intorno alla famiglia.
Around the family.
Al sacramento della famiglia.
To the sacrament of the family.
Non può essere cambiata.
It cannot be changed.
Perché non possiamo cambiare la parola di Dio.
Because we cannot change God's word.
Ma possiamo attuarla.
But we can activate it.
Ed è l'idea della misericordia.
And that is the idea of mercy.
Che il Papa accompagnerà proprio con un anno giubileo della misericordia.
Which the Pope will accompany with a jubilee year of mercy.
Non a caso dopo il sinodo.
But it's not by chance that that is after the synod.
Allora la questione è tutta qui.
So the question is here.
Tra dimensione sacramentale.
Through sacramental dimension.
E dimensione spirituale.
And through spiritual dimension.
Dimensione sacramentale significa il magistero.
The sacramental is the magisterium.
Il sacramento.
The sacrament.
La tradizione.
And tradition.
Che non possono essere cambiate.
Which cannot be changed.
Ma c'è la spiritualità.
But there is spirituality.
Cioè l'apertura all'azione dello spirito.
Therefore the aperture, the openness to the action of the spirit.
Che ci chiede di essere aperti alle situazioni del nostro tempo.
And that's what asks us to be open to the situations of our time.
Ad esercitare misericordia davanti alle tante prove della famiglia.
And to exercise mercy in front of all the many trials for the family.
A fare sentire la nostra vicinanza, la nostra accoglienza.
To let it feel our closeness and our welcome.
A tante famiglie che soffrono.
To many families who suffer.
O che vivono ai margini della chiesa.
Or who live at the margins of the church.
La sintesi è la comunità.
Synthesis is community.
Well, we are going to end our first segment on that note. We are talking with Dr. Salvatore Martinez about the vision of Pope Francis for the role of the family in modern life. We'll be back in just a minute to hear what he has to say about an ambitious family project in the home of the Holy Family, Nazareth. Please stay with us. We're back with Dr. Salvatore Martinez, who is the president of the Vatican Foundation International Center for the Family in Nazareth. Now, this center is an actual physical project that was initially conceived by Pope John Paul II. It is going to be a center in the city of Nazareth specifically dedicated to the family. What did John Paul II have in mind when he first proposed it, and what is the center going to look like?
Era il secondo incontro mondiale delle famiglie.
It was the second world meeting of the family.
Rio de Janeiro 1997.
1997 in Rio de Janeiro.
E Giovanni Paolo II ebbe questa grande idea.
And John Paul II had this grand idea.
Non chiudere il millennio.
Do not close out the millennium.
Senza ripartire da Nazareth.
Without starting from Nazareth.
Perché se l'amore è arrivato da Nazareth.
Because if love came from Nazareth.
L'amore può ritornare al mondo da Nazareth.
The love can return to the world from Nazareth.
La profezia della Santa Famiglia di Nazareth.
And that is the prophecy of the Holy Family of Nazareth.
Perché come dice la scrittura, lì in quella terra santa tutti siamo nati.
Because as the scriptures say, in that holy land there all of us were born.
Allora ritornare a Nazareth.
So to return to Nazareth.
Per ripartire da Nazareth.
To leave again from Nazareth.
E questo necessitava di una idea concreta.
And so this requires a concrete idea.
Ecco allora la possibilità di costruire una casa.
And therefore the possibility of building a home.
La casa del Papa.
A home of the Pope.
Per tutte le famiglie del mondo.
For all the families of the world.
La casa da cui fare partire.
The home from which to come out.
Servizi sociali e spirituali.
And provide spiritual and social services.
A vantaggio di tutte le famiglie del mondo.
For all the families of the world.
A me piace chiamarla.
I like to call it.
Una sorta di ONU della famiglia.
A sort of UN for the family.
Un luogo nel quale radunare
a place to come together
da tutto il mondo
from everywhere around the world
coloro che si occupano di famiglia
to bring all those who take care of families
family and media family and educational family and welfare family and sport family and pastoral tutto ciò che di bello si fa nella famiglia
everything that's good that's done about and around the family
e che spesso non si racconta
and that we often don't talk about
portarlo in questa terra
to bring it to this land
e da lì lanciarlo in tutto il mondo
and launch it into the entire world from there
ma parlando di Nazareth
so speaking of Nazareth
noi parliamo del Medio Oriente
we speak of the Middle East
Benedetto XVI
Benedict XVI
ereditando questa profezia
inheriting this prophecy
nel 2009
in 2009
ha precisato meglio il senso del progetto
he gave it more specificity
un progetto per la Terra Santa.
He said that this was a project for the Holy Land.
Non solo per il mondo,
not just for the world,
ma intanto per la Terra Santa,
but for the Holy Land as well.
E noi vediamo ogni giorno,
and so every day we see,
in quanti modi,
in how many different ways,
la famiglia umana,
the human family,
in Medio Oriente,
in the Middle East,
è perseguitata.
Is persecuted.
Non solo le famiglie cristiane,
not just the Christian family,
ma anche le famiglie musulmane,
but also Muslim families.
È proprio la famiglia ad essere perseguitata.
It's the family itself which is persecuted.
Milioni di persone,
millions of people,
sono costretti a lasciare le loro case.
Are obliged, are forced to leave their own homes.
Famiglie che vengono divise.
Families are divided.
Si pensi solo al muro che c'è a Gerusalemme.
We just have to think about the wall in Jerusalem.
Ma si pensi alle guerre.
But if we think about the wars
che ci sono intorno a queste terre.
Around those lands and in those lands.
Ecco, fare qualcosa.
Doing something about that.
Per sostenere queste famiglie.
To sustain those families.
E per trovare,
and to find,
una via di dialogo e di pace.
A way of dialogue and of peace.
In queste terre infuocate dalla guerra.
In these lands set ablaze by war.
E c'è una parola.
And there is a word.
Ed è famiglia.
And it is family.
È parola comune alle tre religioni.
And it is a word that is common to all the three religions.
È parola che tutti capiscono.
And it's a word that everyone understands.
Adesso con Francesco.
Now with Pope Francis.
Che tutti amano.
Which everybody loves.
E che è una sorta di grande padre dell'umanità.
Who is a sort of father for the whole world.
Il sogno di Giovanni Paolo II e di Benedetto.
The dream of John Paul II and of Benedict.
Si sta compiendo.
Is coming to fruition.
Ero con lui nel suo viaggio in Terra Santa.
I was with him on his trip to the Holy Land.
E a Betlemme.
And in Bethlehem in particular.
Il Papa ha di nuovo parlato del progetto.
And the Pope spoke of the project again.
Allora, tre le parole adesso.
So now there's three words.
Che vogliamo raccontare a tutto il mondo.
That we want to tell the whole world.
E che ridiremo a Filadelfia.
And which we will say again in Philadelphia.
Francesco.
Francis.
Famiglia.
Family
e Terra Santa.
And Holy Land.
Tutti possiamo fare qualcosa.
And we can all do something.
Tutti possiamo essere parte di questo progetto.
We can all be a part of this project.
Tutti potremo sostenere la famiglia.
And we can all sustain the family.
What is the project physically going to look like when families come to visit? What are they going to see and what are they going to be able to do?
E ci saranno due costruzioni, due palazzi.
There will be two buildings.
Un hotel,
a hotel,
per accogliere i pellegrini,
to welcome pilgrims,
tutte le persone che verranno a collaborare,
oh, those are for all the people who are coming to collaborate,
come quella ONU di cui parlavo,
and that sort of UN that we're talking about,
ma anche un centro propriamente detto,
but also a center properly said,
con auditorium,
with an auditorium,
basilica, e varie ambienti per servizi,
and different places for services to be
per
provided.
Sviluppare questa pastorale per il Medio Oriente,
to develop this pastoral for the Middle East.
Per fare un lavoro di formazione di leader.
And to form leaders.
Per preparare missionari.
To prepare missionaries.
E anche per accogliere.
And also to welcome.
Quanti vengono a condividere questa visione.
Those who come to share in this vision.
Allora, il centro internazionale avrà queste due entità.
So the International Center will have these two main entities.
Ma non sarà questa la sola finalità.
But this is not the finality of the center.
Perché per volontà di Benedetto XVI.
Because by the will of Benedict XVI.
A Nazareth ci sarà come la casa madre.
Nazareth is actually the mother house.
Perché in altri paesi del mondo.
Because in other places in the world,
sorgeranno altri centri internazionali.
Other international centers will rise.
O anche dei board.
Or also boards.
Come a New Orleans.
Like in New Orleans.
E anche qui ad Orange.
And here in Orange.
Board che aiuteranno.
Boards which will help.
A sviluppare.
To develop.
E a portare.
And to bring.
E a preparare.
And to prepare.
Questo lavoro.
This work.
Un grande network allora.
A large network.
In cui Nazareth.
In which Nazareth.
È il luogo più rappresentativo.
Is the most representative center.
Il più simbolico.
The most symbolic.
Ma poi un grande network in tutto il mondo.
But a great network around it.
Per collegare quelle realtà.
To bring all these realities together.
Che altrimenti risulterebbero isolate.
Which otherwise would be isolated.
Faccio un esempio concreto.
Just one solid example.
La Giordania.
Jordan.
La Giordania è parte della diocesi di Gerusalemme.
Jordan is part of the diocese of Jerusalem.
Molti non lo sanno.
Many don't know that.
Ma la diocesi di Gerusalemme.
But the diocese of Jerusalem.
Non è solo in Israele.
It's not just Israel,
ma prende anche la Giordania,
but it's also Jordan.
Prende Cipro,
Cyprus.
Prende la Palestina,
Palestine.
E così estesa in quattro nazioni.
And it's extended over four countries.
Ebbene, i giordani non possono andare in Israele.
But the Jordanians cannot go to Israel.
Allora dovremmo creare un centro in Giordania.
So we have to create a center in Jordan.
Dentro lo stesso patriarcato.
In the same patriarchy.
Per aiutare le famiglie della Giordania.
To help the families of Jordan.
Now, the center is in Nazareth. Nazareth, of course, was Jesus' hometown. Nazareth is not a large place. And this center, apparently, is going to become one of the world's great attractions in relation with the family. What have the people of Nazareth and the people in the region said about the center coming? I imagine they are very much in favor of it.
Questa è una domanda molto interessante.
This is a very interesting answer,
che quasi nessuno mai mi pone.
That nobody really asks.
Voglio dire qualcosa di particolare.
And so I want to say something in particular about,
parlando di Nazareth.
Speaking of Nazareth.
Nazareth è nel mistero di Dio.
Nazareth is in the mystery of God.
È stata nascosta da Dio.
It's been hidden away by God.
Come Maria.
Just like Mary.
Preservata da Dio.
Preserved by God.
Se noi andiamo nell'Antico Testamento,
if we go into the Old Testament,
non esiste la parola Nazareth.
The word Nazareth doesn't exist.
Se andiamo nei libri dei Romani,
if we go into the books of the Romans,
che avevano catalogato tutte le loro proprietà,
who cataloged all the properties of the empire,
non troveremo la città di Nazareth.
We do not see Nazareth.
È incredibile.
It's incredible.
Era stata preservata da Dio.
It was preserved by God.
Per diventare poi il palcoscenico
to become the stage
del miracolo più grande.
Of the greatest miracle ever.
Dio che viene attraverso
God
una donna.
Who comes through a woman.
C'è un altro primato di Nazareth.
There's also another first for Nazareth.
In Terra Santa,
in the Holy Land,
in Israele,
in Israel in particular,
la percentuale dei cristiani è 1.5.
1.5 is the percentage of Christians in that country.
A Nazareth,
in Nazareth,
sono il 40%.
It is 40%.
Nazareth è tutta araba.
Nazareth is entirely Arab.
Sono 80.000 persone.
80,000 inhabitants.
Sono tutti arabi.
They're all Arabs.
40% cristiani.
40% Christians.
60% musulmani.
60% Muslims.
Che hanno sempre vissuto in pace.
And they've always lived in peace.
E in armonia.
And in harmony.
Ma a Nazareth,
but in Nazareth,
nessuno ha mai realizzato nulla.
Nobody's ever done anything.
Si trova tutto a Gerusalemme.
Everything is in Jerusalem.
A Nazareth nulla.
Nothing in Nazareth.
Ma Gesù per 30 anni,
but Christ for 30 years,
ha vissuto a Nazareth.
Lived in Nazareth,
in una casa,
in a home,
in una famiglia,
in a house, in a family,
e nei 3 anni di ministero,
and in his 3 years of ministry,
non ha lavorato a Gerusalemme,
he did not work in Jerusalem,
ma in Galilea,
but in Galilee,
che è la regione di Nazareth,
which is the region around Nazareth.
Allora è bello pensare,
so it's beautiful to think,
che Gesù ritorna a casa,
that Jesus is coming back home.
E chi vuole conoscere Gesù,
and who wants to know Jesus,
lo deve incontrare nella sua terra,
has to encounter him and meet him in his land,
nella sua casa,
in his house,
nei luoghi dove viveva,
in the places where he lived,
e dove oggi vuole ritornare,
and where he today wants to come back.
Well, in the 2 minutes we have left, I'd like to ask a question that covers just about everything we've been talking about so far. We've been talking about the church's response to the place of the family in the world, but what can we as individual Catholic Christians do to promote strong families throughout the world?
Ritornare all'amore.
Come back to love.
La regola dell'amore.
The rule of love.
È il tu.
Is the you.
È il passare da io a tu.
It's going from me to you.
È solo l'unione di io e tu.
And only the union, the unity of me and you.
Crea il noi.
Creates us.
Crea l'unità.
Creates unity.
Crea la famiglia.
Creates the family.
La soluzione.
The solution then,
all'individualismo del mondo.
To the individualism of the world.
All'egoismo del mondo.
To the egoism of the world.
È nella famiglia.
Is in the family.
Ritorniamo alla famiglia.
Come to the family.
Salviamo la famiglia.
Save the family.
E la famiglia salverà la chiesa.
And the family will save the church.
E la famiglia salverà il mondo.
And the family will save the world.
Dr. Salvatore Martinez, thank you so much for taking time out of your visit to Southern California to join us today on Orange County Catholic Radio. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you.
And much good luck to you in your many ministries, and we wish the International Center for the Family in Nazareth much success as well. For any of our listeners who would like to learn more about the center, you can go to www.nazarethinternationalfamily.org. One more time, www.nazarethinternationalfamily.org. Please stay with us. We will be right back after this. Good morning to everyone in the Diocese of Orange and elsewhere in Southern California. You're listening to Orange County Catholic Radio on AM 1000. Well, throughout his papacy, Pope Francis has emphasized a church that actively moves to engage people, that expresses solidarity with all, and that fosters what he calls a culture of encounter, a church that reaches out to people and meets them in whatever circumstances they find themselves. Recently, Dr. Jonathan Reyes presented a talk on the campus campus of Christ Cathedral entitled Creating a Culture of Encounter, the Social Vision of Pope Francis. Dr. Reyes, who is the Executive Director of the Department of Justice, Peace, and Human Development for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, was unable to be with us today because of other commitments, but we're very happy to welcome to the studio Pia De Seleni. She is the Associate Dean of the Augustine Institute. The Institute provides academic and parish programs to form Catholics for the new evangelization, which is part of what we're going to be talking about today. Pia is going to give us a kind of a summary of this important presentation. Pia, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, it's great to be here, Pat.
Well, Pope Francis has talked again and again, and Dr. Reyes has noted, that much of society today is engaged in what Francis called a throwaway culture. How does he propose to combat this?
Well, that's what the culture of encounter is. Instead of seeing people and relationships as disposable, seeing people valuable for who they are in and of themselves, not what they produce, but who they are. And I think Jonathan does a great job of addressing this, because in our culture, our relationships, particularly in the Anglo culture, the Western Anglo culture, everything is transactional. You know, I pay you for something, I get this. I give you this, I get that. We've lost this sense of encounter, which it's based originally in the family. It's where you meet people, where they're at, and what their needs are. And I think, again, the family is a great place to see that, because, you know, in a family, you have a small child, and there's only so much they can do. And you know what? You put up with a lot sometimes, right? Because you know that they're 3 years old and having a hard time.
All right? Sure.
So it really is more of a place of encounter, meeting people where they're at. You're not saying, okay, well, I'm going to change your diaper, but in return, I want X, Y, and Z. I'm going to feed you, but in return, no, it's encounter. It's meeting someone where they're at. And that, I think, is the call. Francis talks about the fact that, you know, Mother Teresa, she was someone who encountered people where they were at.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a beautiful anecdote that Archbishop Fulton Sheen told in his autobiography, Treasure in Clay, where I think he's working for Propaganda Fide. So he's going out to the missionary territories and so forth and visiting all these projects. And he's visiting lepers, and he has crucifixes for them. And one of the lepers puts his hand out. Well, his hand is just consumed with the disease. And so the Archbishop drops the crucifix into the man's hand. And then he just has one of those instantaneous reflections where he's thinking, oh my goodness, what did I just do? And he realizes that he's just treated this man, forget the crucifix, I mean, but this man, he's treated this man without dignity and without respect. And he literally had to dig the crucifix out of the man's hand. So you can imagine it's not a pleasant experience. And he took it, he kissed the crucifix, kissed the man's hand, and he placed it in the man's hand. So it's a totally different way of engaging with people. And I think Francis is saying, look, we have to engage people where they're at. And we also have to, which means not just are you hurting, are you in crisis, but who are you? I want to know who you are, and that's important to me. And again, it's just this whole idea of encountering, and really, so it's entering into relationship.
Well, Francis has said that the Western democracies, I think particularly America, we have some trouble understanding this. Why do you think it is a little bit slow to sink in for us? Are we such a consumer society that we expect that kind of a quid pro quo that you were talking about?
I think the Western world, particularly the United States, and parts of Europe, we are very much what I call the I world. Okay, we have an iPad, we have an iPhone. Everything is centered around ourselves. We're able to, you know, in our cars, you can set the climate settings on your side of the car, and I can set them on my side of the car. So I think in some ways, all of the technological advances, which can be great and serve people in many ways, they've also created kind of an atomistic environment in which we're cut off from relations to people. And, you know, just the trends in the economy and jobs and schools and so forth, people aren't connected to their families. They're not connected to neighborhoods. We move a lot. We don't have the same type of networks that we used to have. And at the same time, we're learning to take care of ourselves, and we're learning to not rely on other people, not to expect it, which can be a bad thing because we also lose that aspect of encounter. And then we're also learning that I can, you know, control the world. It's the I world. I can control it in all these different ways and have it just the way I want it so that no one disturbs that. So I think it's kind of a result of the affluence and privilege that we enjoy.
Well, in Indian culture, and a lot of people know about this, there's a traditional greeting, namaste. And roughly that means, I bow to the divine light within you. And if you extrapolate that, it can also mean, you bow to the divine light within me. It is kind of a spiritual exchange in just a quick hello, which is a wonderful custom. But I think here in the West, we'd have a lot of trouble getting our minds and our hearts around something like that.
Oh, I mean, look at the way that we say, hello, how are you doing? And then we breeze on before the person even answers. We're not even expecting an answer to that question. And sometimes it can be such a deeply personal question that you really wonder, should we even ask it? Do I really want to know the answer to this question? Do I really want to know how this person is doing? Mm-hmm. And so it's a way, the language, we're using language that signifies a great deal, but we're using it in a way that it means nothing. And so there is no encounter. We're not, forget recognizing the divine, we're not even recognizing a human being in front of us, because we're 5 feet past that person before the question's even ended.
Is it a result, just do you think, of the speed of the culture, just the pace?
I think there's lots of different things. I think it's just the pace of our culture. Again, I think there is this American independence. I mean, lots of great writers have commented on it throughout the ages. I mean, de Tocqueville was one of the most noted one several hundred years ago, 200 years ago. I think that it's also our experience of family. I mean, the family is in crisis in the United States, and that affects how we see other people. I mean, the first place that we learn to relate to others is in the family. That's the first school. I mean, the church calls the family, it's the first church, and it's the first school. And people are missing that experience. And so I think all of these things kind of coalesce to kind of, it's kind of creates a storm.
Well, what is the culture of encounter, and Dr. Reyes calls it the encuentro, the culture of encounter have to do with evangelization. Is the encuentro a method of evangelization that emphasizes just simple respect for human contact rather than the kind of proselytizing that goes on sometimes where, you know, someone will buttonhole you in the airport and say, wouldn't you like to read this pamphlet or something like that? Just a simple human physical encounter taking a little bit of time, can that be an evangelical moment?
Absolutely. I mean, it's modeled on Jesus in the Gospels. Jesus in the Gospels, he's spending time with people. He's eating with them. He's visiting with them. Sometimes he's preaching, yes, but a lot of the times he's not. He's walking. He's visiting. Those are all encounters. And the problem with proselytization, it becomes transactional. You know, I will give you food if you will pray the way that I want you to pray.
Yes.
And that, again, is transactional. It's not an encounter. And the encounter model is spending time with the person, getting to know them, visiting with them, and also giving freely, not mm-hmm. without the strings attached. And it's not, well, I'll give if you will do this. Again, that's the transactional model. And what Jonathan has been talking about is, and what Pope Francis has been talking about is this model of encounter that's not transaction, but it's really almost a thing of being. You're being with the person, being there, being present.
Well, listening skills have to be just paramount in this, I imagine. And you were talking about some people, famous people, who were noted for this, and Dr. Reyes does as well, Mother Teresa and Pope John Paul II. People got an idea when they were with them, as famous as they were, as charismatic as they were, people got the feeling when they were with them, and this is true of Francis as well, that you're the only person in the room. You're the only person that Mother Teresa or John Paul or Francis is listening to and concentrating on.
I've had that experience with Pope Francis myself, John Paul II, and Ratzinger before he was Pope. When I was working in Rome in the Vatican, I would eat my lunch in St. Peter's Square, and it was amazing. Anybody could stop this cardinal with white hair that was walking by. They'd ask him, where's the 64 bus? They would ask him the most mundane questions. Where's the bathroom?
And this was Cardinal Ratzinger.
That was Cardinal Ratzinger. And he listened to those people. Oh, yes, here it is. And are you sure you understand? I would watch these transactions all the time and interactions. I met John Paul II several times. And then I met Pope Francis, oh, goodness, almost a year and a half ago. And it was, he stopped. And you can even see it in the pictures. And my whole family was actually able, almost all my family was able to meet John Paul II, and it's just, you can even see it in the gazes. There's one where he's looking at one of my brothers, and there's something happening there, mm-hmm. and it's just incredibly powerful. It's captured in the photo. And you hear this so often from people who have met any of these great people, that there's just something in the moment that grabs you, and they are truly present. And it's amazing, because when you think of everything that one of these popes has to think about, or everything that might be on Mother Teresa's mind, it goes blank, and it's all about you, right here, right now.
And they will not be rushed, will they?
I spent 6 years living in Rome, and I never saw Pope John Paul rushed at all. And I've been a Vatican observer. I've spent a lot of time going back and forth from the States to Rome. I have never seen a pope rushed.
It's amazing to me that that somebody can actually do that, who has such a responsible position and whose schedule is so completely full, yet it all seems to get done.
It does. And Pope Francis was throwing people off at the beginning of his pontificate because, you know, he'd be scheduled to visit a parish in Rome, and he'd show up early. I mean, who wants the pope to show up early for a big event? You got this scheduled down to the, you know, to the minute, to how, even if you're an Italian, you know, you're relaxed most of the time. I mean, this is scheduled. This is the pope. And he would show up early. Well, why had he shown up early? Because he wanted to hear confessions. And he wanted to spend time with people. And again, we think of confessions oftentimes as kind of something mundane, something I have to do, humdrum, you know, poor father so-and-so got duty in the confessional. And yet he was making that a priority, and it was a question of being there, just being there for these people.
We'll be back for more with Pia De Seleni of the Augustine Institute right after this. Please stay with us. We're back with Pia De Seleni, and we're talking about some of the points made recently in a talk here on the Christ Cathedral campus by Dr. Jonathan Reyes, who is the Executive Director of the Department of Justice, Peace, and Human Development for the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Catholic social teaching, according to Dr. Reyes, holds that we're not only made in the image and likeness of God, but we're born into relationships, that engaging with others and with the environment and with ourselves is part of our nature as children of God. And this pretty much flies in the face of the often expressed ideal of the rugged individualist that we were talking about just a second ago, right?
Right, right. I think that, again, it's bringing back this idea of relation, existing with people, existing for others. You know, we have this, even we talk about, well, you take care of yourself and I'll take care of myself. Well, I mean, that makes sense to a point. But by the same token, that's not how we are created. And there's a phrase that Alasdair MacIntyre, a philosopher at Notre Dame, uses, and he has a book titled this. It's Dependent Rational Animals. We are created to be dependent on others. And even there's a book that I read in which a husband and wife was talking about giving and sacrifice. It's not enough to, if your spouse in the middle of the night says, oh, I need a drink of water, will you go and get it for me? Are you willing to turn to your spouse in the middle of the night and say, I need a drink of water, will you go and get it for me? There's
right.
two things going on, two actions, right? And so it's, are we willing to be vulnerable? Are we willing to put ourselves in the vulnerability that relation demands? And in a lot of charitable work, I think it's really, I mean, frankly, let's be honest, it's much easier to make a donation online or write a check, stick some money in the basket
sure.
that's going through. And it's harder, but I've always found it more rewarding when you spend time hands-on with whatever project it is, because again, it's this relational aspect. It's you're engaging with it, and it becomes mm-hmm. much more real. And you know, that amount that we donate, I mean, most of us are not donating the widow's, you know, mite. We're donating from, usually it's not hurting us to donate, right? But when you go and serve and you're with people, it puts a face on the project, it puts a face on the service. And that's this idea of relationality that the Pope is challenging us to bring back, and that Jonathan was emphasizing in his talk.
Well, this idea of interdependence of people, I think George Will said this, of all people, that Americans, as much as we like to think of ourselves as the John Wayne rugged individualist types, are really not at our core. We are dependent on each other, and we have been throughout our history, and particularly in times of crisis.
places.
Oh yeah, I mean, as soon as the power goes out, or you know, there's bad weather, particularly on the East Coast. I mean, bad weather here in Southern California doesn't happen too often, but there's a crisis, and you know what? We can't get by ourselves. We do need help. We need help from others. We need help from our neighbors, our friends, or just people we don't even know. We're not able to be the rugged individualist.
Well, Francis also talks about the culture of exclusion that is so prevalent in much of the modern world, and he holds up strong and united families as a kind of an antidote to that. We were talking about that just a little while ago, and it's true, is it not?
Absolutely. That is where you learn to belong. That's the first place that you learn to belong. It's the first place that you learn to accept people for who they are. You learn that, you know, I don't know, Uncle Fred is kind of an oddball, but you love him anyway, all right? Mm-hmm. You learn that maybe you're kind of a pain in the you-know-what, but people still put up with you. It's in relationality. And I've made this point several times in talks and lectures that when Adam is given the task of naming all of the animals, right, he does that. He names all the animals in the garden, but he doesn't name himself. He's not able to name himself until Eve is created. And then Eve stands before him, and he's able to name himself. He calls her a woman who's been made from man, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so I make the point that it's in isolation, you know, or in less personal relationships, that it's really easy for us to be good people, right? But take the straight-A 8-year-old honor roll student, right? That is just the teacher's pet. That kid is awesome. Now, in the classroom, take that child and put her back at home with her siblings, and you're going to see a completely different dynamic.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's in the most personal and intimate relationships where we really, it's much rawer, it's much more real.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why it's the family is the place where you learn how to belong and how to be in relation, because it is one of the most intimate spaces that we experience from the very, very beginning. And it's a place that we experience. We are in absolute need when we enter into the family. There is nothing that we can do for ourselves in our first entry into the family. So we learn how to belong, we learn how to depend on other people, and then as we grow older, we learn to that, you know, everybody's got their little imperfections and their quirks, and we learn to accept them. And then we get a little bit older and we learn that we have our quirks and our imperfections. And so it's just, as I said in the beginning, in the first section, this is the school. It's the school of humanity.
And the parents, the husband and wife, really set the tone from the very beginning. You always hear this old saw, if you ask a longtime married couple if they ever considered divorcing. And for some reason, this always seems to come from the wife. She'll say, divorce never, murder yes.
Right.
And but you know, they will not break up that family unit. They recognize that as flawed as it is, as crazy making as it can be, that it is the bedrock, the basis.
It is. And you know, unfortunately, there are some tragic situations, you know, where there's addiction or abuse, where that it's not possible. But in other situations, it is possible. It requires a lot of work and a lot of sacrifice. But you can look at the data and, frankly, just look around. I mean, I know so many families where the parents have really, really struggled and sacrificed a great deal. And the result is an entire family unit where all of the members of the family are thriving and in a much better place than if people had split apart at a difficult time and in a moment of crisis.
We were talking a little while ago also about something that Francis also points out very strongly, that encountering those in need, encountering anyone really, but particularly those in need, should not be a long-distance encounter, but it should possibly be, if possible, an actual person-to-person and possibly an actual physical encounter. He's really invoking his namesake, St. Francis, here, I think, isn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, that St. Francis, most of his work was done on a hillside in Italy. I was just there last month, and you realize, in a sense, kind of how small his world is. I mean, he did travel to Rome, and he traveled to the Holy Land, but most of his world was in a very small place, and people followed him because they knew him, they saw him. It was these personal encounters. And, you know, again, sometimes we're looking for, I have a little pet peeve that sometimes we're all looking for a charity to give to, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's someone that we know that needs help. And maybe because pride is involved, maybe we can't give directly, but there are lots of different ways to give, and you can get creative. I just saw a story the other day, maybe on Facebook, about a woman who, what she'll do is she'll drop a little bit of money if she sees somebody that looks like they're seriously in need, but she doesn't want, because, you know, pride, natural pride, that's a very human thing and a good thing, and you don't want people to feel undignified because they need help.
Yeah.
And so what she'll do is she'll drop a little money, and, you know, she's in the grocery store or something, and she'll say, oh, somebody must have dropped this. It's not mine. Is it yours? And they'll say no. And she'll say, well, I don't know. Why don't you just keep it? Because I don't see anybody that it belongs to. Huh? So again, it's this very gracious way of helping people out, mm-hmm. and but doing it right there and not necessarily waiting for the big project that's coming across our email that needs our money. But there's people right around us.
Well, the Pope even extends his insistence on this culture of close encounter as possible, to our encounters with Jesus himself. And he talks about Christ as our first and most important encounter, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't tell people, look, you just need to believe and that's it, or get baptized and that's it. Why are you going to follow the commandments? Why are you going to live this life? Why are you going to take the name of a Christian, being a Christian? I mean, there's a cost to it. There always has been throughout history, since the first Christians. I mean, why are you going to do this? You're not going to do it unless you have that encounter with Christ and that relationship with Christ. And that comes through prayer. And that's not just prayer where you're reciting formulated prayers. That's good. That's part of it. But there's another aspect to prayer, which is listening. And it's just having that quiet time when the Holy Spirit can reach you and when the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And sometimes you don't even understand it. And it may not be clear. And you're not going to get a tweet from the Holy Spirit, all right? But there are going to be inclinations. There are going to be the promptings. And that is where the encounter with Christ comes, is being able to listen to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, remember, it's the love between the Son and the Father that is so strong that it is a person in and of itself. And that's what fuels our relationship with Christ. But we have to have the time for that. And even if it's just a few minutes here and there throughout the day, that's how you do it. I mean, why are you going to sacrifice? Why are you going to give? Why are you going to conform for someone you don't know? You have to know Jesus Christ in order to conform yourself.
Well, finally, and now if I'm understanding this correctly, Francis says that somewhere between our encounter with Jesus and our encounters with our fellow humans lies, I think, what he calls a missionary discipleship. It is almost something that is apparent without having to say a word, I imagine.
I think so. And again, I look back to the Gospels. We see the example there. What is missionary discipleship? It's the disciples going out. It's the disciples being with other people. And, you know, I mean, maybe it means having a beer with somebody. Maybe it means going to a picnic. Maybe it means listening to somebody's problems. That's missionary discipleship, is going out. And as Jesus said, told the disciples, going out into the deep. And it's just, there are people in our walks of life every day that we can encounter and through whom we can spread the gospel simply by witnessing Christ.
Well, Pia De Soleni, thanks so much for being with us today and for giving our listeners such a clear and complete picture of the social vision of Pope Francis, and particularly how we all might respond to it in a positive and creative way.
Thank you. It's good being with you.
That is it for our show this week. I'd like to thank all of our guests and our listeners, as always. Please be with us every Thursday from 11 to noon here on Immaculate Heart Radio, AM 1000. I'm Patrick Mott.